I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. While the country is focused on the coronavirus pandemic and the fight for racial justice, the federal government continues to make sweeping changes to environmental law. On Wednesday, President Trump announced he's rolling back one of the country's key environmental protection laws. For 50 years, the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, has ensured that federal infrastructure projects require something called an environmental impact study. Now, changes to the law will force those studies to be conducted in less time, or in some cases, not at all. Experts say these changes will lead to new infrastructure that could hurt the environment. At the same time, the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, Joe Biden, announced his climate change plan this week, which proposes to spend $2 trillion over 4 years on sustainable infrastructure and other green projects. But how far that spending will actually go to curb climate change remains unclear. Kendra Pierre-Lewis is with me. She's a reporter for Gimlet Media. Kendra, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Tanzina.
So what's NEPA? I mean, and what exactly are these environmental impact studies?
Right. So basically what you have to think is before the creation of NEPA, a federal agency generally considered efficiency. So if we're building a highway, what is the fastest way of getting this highway between two places? If it was plowing over a wetland that provided necessary environmental services like hurricane protection or flood protection, it didn't have to factor that into its considerations. What NEPA said is this efficiency mandate is actually not necessarily the best thing, right? Because if you cut through a wetland and a hurricane hits, you now have to spend extra money on hurricane infrastructure, right? It says take a step back and look at sort of all of the broad environmental impacts that you might have, and are there ways that you can mitigate or avoid some of them? It might mean maybe not making the highway the shortest between two routes. It might be that the highway meanders a little bit, but it's not prescriptive. It doesn't say you have to do one of these alternative environmental methods. It just says you have to actually consider them. And the idea is, in general, is it was its goal was to provide communities with a notice of proposed projects and allow public commentary and allow them to sort of weigh in and have an insight into what's going on in their community.
Have environmental impact studies, Kendra, actually changed the course of major projects, or are these mostly a formality?
No, I mean, they definitely have impacted major projects. Not necessarily in the way that you're thinking, right? It's not like a black and white situation. It's not on and off. It's not like, oh, because of an environmental impact review, this project didn't happen. It's because of an environmental impact review, this project may have happened somewhat differently. So oftentimes you can't necessarily even tell the impact as an outsider looking in. So those kinds of conversations allow for public comment and allow for people to weigh in and say, like, this isn't the best direction. This one is. This works better. So it's not necessarily black or white in that way, if that makes sense.
Kendra, President Trump was making some remarks in Atlanta yesterday about this change, and he said that some of the NEPA regulations can actually hold up construction for as long as 20 years or more. Is that right?
No. So I looked at that claim, and it seems like he was referencing an airport in Taos, New Mexico. And basically what NEPA does, because of this public comment aspect of it, and because of this NEPA aspect of it, you can sue and say that the agency isn't doing its due environmental diligence if you don't want something. And so in the case of Taos, New Mexico, a lot of the locals didn't want that airport expansion. And so because they felt that it was only going to benefit like private plane owners and people who were not full-time residents of that region. And so they sued to sort of stall the project. The other thing that I think he's factoring into his assessment is sort of the full scale of what it takes to build a construction project. Some people might argue that NEPA slowed down the Purple Line in Maryland for 16 years, and that's not fully accurate. The lawsuits that came about because of NEPA sort of delayed that project by 3 or 4 or 5 years, but not like 20 or 30. And the opposite of that is essentially saying that communities shouldn't have input on the things that are being built in their communities.
Kendra, President Trump said part of the reason why he wants to loosen these environmental rules is to get the country back on its feet economically, and supposedly this will create new jobs. But this feels like it's a balancing act between creating new jobs and hurting the environment, right?
Actually, there's no really good evidence that regulations kill jobs, I guess. Basically, what they know is that a regulation may impact a job in one industry, but can allow for the creation of jobs in another. So, for example, we're often told, or one of the things that often comes up is that, you know, regulations killed coal. That's not actually factually correct. Even people within the coal industry will point to natural gas as a reason to why coal jobs are declining. But in that same conversation, we don't look at wind and we don't look at renewables, which jobs are increasing, right? So even as we're losing jobs in one sector, we're gaining jobs in another sector. And so you kind of have to zoom out and look at that full picture. But overall, you know, there's a ton of literature on this and regulations don't kill jobs.
Kendra, let's talk about Biden's new plan. I mean, to be clear, President Trump is sitting in office right now and he's making changes to the law, actual changes to the law, whereas Biden is rolling out a plan that I'm sure he hopes will entice his base, if you will, to vote for him and for the plan. But what does Biden's plan actually say?
Yeah, so I think you're right that, like, you know, President Trump is in office and Biden is a candidate. So I think it's really useful to compare Biden the candidate to Trump the candidate pre his presidency. And Trump ran pretty strongly on a platform of deregulation. And Biden is actually saying there are a lot of problems in the United States. You know, we have an infrastructure problem in the United States. I think the American Society of Civil Engineers gave the United States infrastructure a D+ in 2017. You know, our bridges are falling. Our electrical grid is collapsing. And what he's saying is we have a lot of sort of physical structural problems, and we can rebuild this country, and we can rebuild this country in a way that provides for clean energy, that provides for clean water, and that helps us mitigate climate change. And so it's a lot of building and investments in building and investments in new technology that he thinks will create jobs.
Does Biden's plan as it stands right now go far enough in terms of working to curb greenhouse gas emissions and working to actually create sustainable long-term change? Or is this sort of a more centrist plan that might appease both companies and environmental activists?
So I think overall, his plan goes a lot further than sort of where he was a year ago or so when he first sort of launched his campaign. We won't really know. I mean, and he's actually sped up some of the timeline. So it goes a lot further. A lot of whether or not it goes further enough sort of resides on what it looks like when it's actually implemented. But does it have kind of the bones to get that far? Possibly. But a lot depends on implementation.
Are there any provisions in Biden's plan? Because one of the things that we talk about a lot is environmental racism. And we've seen that. I think some of the clearest examples of that most of our listeners would know would be tainted water in Flint, Michigan, for example, in Newark, New Jersey, just the basic plumbing and piping that needs to get water to communities of color, in this case, largely black and brown communities, has been tainted for decades. And we see this happening in a lot of low-income communities and communities of color. Does Biden's plan actually do anything to address those issues specifically?
Yes, it explicitly calls for the replacement of lead service pipes and the upgrade of treatment plans. And it specifically calls, it doesn't explicitly say black and brown, but it does say rural to urban, rich and poor. And there is a separate category when it talks about sort of environmental justice and environmental racism.
Kendra Pierre-Lewis is a reporter for Gimlet Media. Kendra, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.